Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, this is another glorious day in the Lord, and I am excited. Yes, I am. I'm excited about your future. I tell you, your future looks much brighter than today, and God is going to bless you. You can just hold on and hold out. A change is going to come. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Truly, today we have another glorious lesson in the Lord on today, and I is just excited about God. You know, it's something about waking up with your mind stayed on the Lord, and how beautiful and wonderful a day can be when you set God first. Oh, yes. It doesn't mean everything is going to be all lined up the way you want it to be. It doesn't mean that everything is flowing and all your little ducks are in a row. But what it means that you have the blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. And if you got Jesus, you know that he's a way out of no way. Oh, come on and clap your hand. What a revelation. Oh, God, you can rest and shout in that. Oh, yes, just knowing that you have Jesus, you is on your side. Your Heavenly Father is going to work all things out to your good. He's going to turn it around for your good. Oh, yes, he will. He'll prepare you a table in the presence of your enemy. Come on, clap your hands. Who would not serve a God like that? Would tell all of your enemies, come to the banquet. Come, come. Give them a personal invitation. Just like Haman, he thought he was going to be blessed and things. And then the king said, I want you to take all those things that we just talked about and give them over to Mordecai. Oh, the devil got mad at that time because guess what? His blessing, he thought he was going to have all of his evil and wickedness work that he was trying to conjure up. It didn't go to him, but it went to the one that he was fighting and the one that he was trying to overthrow. That's the type of God that we serve. So, you know, shake it off, praise God, and give him the glory. Guess what? What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. Everything that the enemy thought he would do, that's what happened to Haman. He thought he was going to destroy the nation of Israel and things, and the Jews, all of the Jews. And he had plotted and ployed and whispered in the ears of the king and said, oh, yes. And the king began to tell him, I don't even know why I'm going this way, but God knows what he's doing. He was beginning to tell him about all of the things, how someone saved his life and how that he wanted to bless them. And there stood Haman sitting there and saying, oh, yes, give him the robe and put him on the horse and send him through the city and things so everyone can see. And oh, as the Haman just began to give all the beautiful suggestions to the king, he thought he was going to be the one that was going to ride on the king horse. And the king turned around and looked at him and said, oh, you give all of those things to Mordecai. Oh, God, the devil got mad then. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. I don't care what you're going through or how the adversary is fighting you. God will make the devil everything he's plotting and ploy and turn around and just to take it and turn it around and bless you. Yes, you, my daughter. Yes, you, my son in the Lord. God will bless you. Yes, he will. And so why don't you grab your Bible? We got a beautiful lesson on today. I just felt that prophetic word just flowing out of my belly onto the airway right now that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why don't you grab your Bible and things? We're going to turn with me over to Psalm 100. Grab your Bible and Psalm 100. And the scripture reads on this here line. It states, Psalm 100. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." That's your generational blessing right there for your children and your children's children as we pass on this heritage to our children. Bring them to the prayer meeting. Bring them to the various places so that they can understand the things and the ways of God, so that when they get old, we don't have to try to break them to come back into God, or break their spirit, or browbeat them to come. It's already in them and things. It just automatically just go flows in their heart. And no, we wouldn't even dare to say that we would do that browbeat or anything like that. But I'm talking about the work it takes just to mentor, the work it takes to try to get their hearts turned back into God, into the things of God. But if we training them up in that way, it will be automatic. They'll automatically get up and move in their giftedness because it's already in them and they was doing it as a child. Amen. And things. And so please understand the metaphor that I use to bring them or to get them to that place. Amen. The Lord, he is definitely worthy of our praise, and the people of God should gladly offer up praise. We do recognize that one of the tactics of the adversary has come to throw bitterness into the heart of the people of God, because bitterness dries up the bone. And when it dries up the bone, it dries up the praise. It dries up the passion. It dries up the fervor. It dries up the purpose in which God has given to you as a child of God to proceed forward in the things of God. So we must really deal and look at the things that are happening in our lives. One of the things that I personally think that is a very key piece to our walk in our Christian walk is to look at ourselves, do our own self-assessment, and begin to, when people do things and you want to react, well, we need to examine that. I feel that we examine that and look at that. Why am I reacting like that? Why? What is causing me within me to go out like that or to feel that way and begin to do a self-assessment? And when we begin to do that self-assessment, we're able at that point in time to really focus in on what is really the adversary is trying to do in your life, and use that place of weakness in your life as a place of captivity. And so that's why it's important for us to self-examine ourselves so that we can see why we are reacting the way in which we are reacting, because it is a key to your walk. There are three things that the adversary, and in my school, I often teach this to the ministers, but it's so relevant to everyone in every walk of life and things. There at Destiny Learning Center, I share with the ministers and leaders, there are three things that are your tools that the adversary is after. Number one, your emotions. Number two, your conviction. Number three, your reaction. Those three elements are very, very key in the life of the people of God. How are you reacting to things? What is your conviction? Having a clear understanding of what are your convictions. Having the clear control over your emotions, recognizing them and how you react in certain situations, what makes you, what's life giving to you, what's draining unto you, recognizing, understanding, and taking dominion over those three areas of your life is key for you to be effective in ministry. Because if not, the adversary will use those three dynamics in your life to fight against you so that you can self-destruct. Now, see, there it is. He wants you to self-destruct. And things using those three elements can cause you to self-destruct. So it's key, child of God, to be sober, to be alert, and being able to focus in on those areas of your life. Somebody come up and say something to you that was totally out of socket and totally disrespectful, totally inappropriate. How are you going to react to that? And so when you begin to sit back and begin to think about that and begin to meditate, well, when someone come back with me with that, I'm not going to fall into a pity party. I'm not going to fall, succumb, and allow their arrows to penetrate my heart and things. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to cast it down. And when arrows comes at me, I just grab that arrow and I take it and I break it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and things, because I'm not going to allow it to penetrate my heart. And if it does penetrate my heart, I'm going to move and act on it immediately. I'm not going to let it fester, because you know a little leaven the whole lot. And it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. So we must be on top of it, and we must be sober in our mind to recognize that when you up front and you working with people, there is bound to come offenses, there are bound to come hurts and disappointments. But how are you going to handle that is the question that I pose and invite you to reflect upon and do greater, more theological reflection. Now, I have a theological reflection tool that helps us to reflect upon circumstances and situations that goes on in our lives. When I was in school there, working on my master's degree, we came up with this particular tool that I think is relevant for us as God's people, that we need to take this and really just go through the process and look at what had happened. And it's not to really to rehash stuff, but it's really to look at myself and to look at why I reacted in that manner. And this tool, I believe, is really a tremendous blessing and things unto the people of God, because it's going to make you look. It's going to make you stop. You're going to look at it instead of passing over it. You're going to go through the steps and the things. If you need to ask forgiveness, it's a place for that. All those things are relevant for the children of God, because we go through situation daily. When we're in relationship with people, it's just going to happen. Now, we're going to go back to our lesson. And if you're interested in getting a reflection tool, please just be sure to email me, send me a message, or email me at helenarm@msn.com. And that's helenorme@msn.com. And I'll repeat that again. It's Helen, helenorme@msn.com. And email me. We'll make sure we'll give you all of the particulars on attaining that. So let's take a look at this psalm on today. The people of Israel used Psalms 100 in connection with their giving of a peace offering. Outside of Psalms 23 is one of the most famous quoted of all the Psalms. The Old Testament scripture revealed that there were gates and courts that led into the temple. Access to the main temple was restricted, but the court where much praise was offered to God was accessible to everyone. Every person had privilege to offer praise to the Lord. None are restricted from the opportunity. The word praise appeared in the King James Version of the Bible 248 times in 216 verses. praise is important. One songwriter will describe the Lord's worthiness to receive praise of mankind as such. Lord, you're worthy of my highest praise. Lord, you're worthy now and for always. Your goodness and mercy caused me to say, Lord, you're worthy of my highest praise. We must recognize that God, He is worthy of our highest praise, the highest praise that we can give unto God. May this lesson be today be an encouragement to everyone that listens. And may each and every one of us understand what it is a privilege it is to praise the Lord of heaven and the earth. And when we look at many of the things that it took for them to get into the presence of God, and we won't go into all of that right now and things, but to us, in order for us to be able, we don't have to stay in the court. We can go into the holies of holy and worship and praise God. And that in itself is a beautiful privilege to the people of God. Now, approaching God in praise, let's look at the vocal praises. There is a fourfold mandate in the scripture for mankind to praise the Lord. Over in 1 Peter 2 and 9 reveals the four reasons that we should praise God. Now, I want us to catch this because we normally use these particular blessings from the Lord to say who we are and identify who we are. But really, in essence, this is the mandate as to why we should praise God. Now, again, this is the mandate, or the fourfold mandate, why we should praise God. Number one, because we are a chosen generation. We have chosen to do this. We are called to praise God. Number two, we are the royal priesthood. Remember, in the Old Testament, it was the priesthood that was able to go in and worship and praise God. And so here it is. Now we are able and considered as royal priesthood and able to go in. We are now a holy nation. And this holy nation, we have been made holy by the righteousness and the holiness of God, that this nation can go into the presence of God and worship Him. Number four, we are a peculiar people. We are His special people whose hand, His hand is upon our life. We are in covenant relationship with Him. We are in relationship with Him, intimately in relationship with God. It is a privilege to the child of God, therefore, who should gladly utilize our voice to offer Him genuine, heartfelt praise. Because their loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, Psalm 63:3. Many people in the world use their voices to practice or promote sinful lifestyle. Many lyrics and music and scripts promote a vile and a corrupt life. Sadly, in North America culture, the voice of the most television and talk shows promote anything but praise to God. But the psalmist encouraged a more positive and more blessed attitude that includes thanksgiving and praise for God. He wrote that I have published with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. You'll find that over in Psalms 26:7. So he purposed in his mind that he was going to use his voice to publish the good news or to publish the mighty acts of God, of making known the acts of God. What are we got to ask ourselves, what are we using our voice for? If we're using our voice for murmuring and complaining, are the voices being used for gossiping or slander, murdering of a character? Have to step back. The child of God must step back. And that's why I said, when you use that theological reflection, it gives you more of a conscious, sober-mindedness to really look at what's going on in your life so that you can bring closure and resolve and move forward into the things of God. And I believe it allows you to recognize, how am I using the gifts that God has given unto me? In at least seven instances, The psalmist spoke of joyful noise. It's good to make a joyful noise of praise unto God. The word noise may carry a more negative connotation today than when the psalmist used the expression. And to some people, noise may seem only to be unnecessary noise. But the praise is anything but noise to God. It is beautiful music to him. There is nothing more beautiful and exciting than to hear a congregation of people using their voices in one accord to offer praise to their Redeemer. Many people may recall special times of praise in the church service when there was no music to prompt the offering of praise. Instead, there was just one voice of praise, one unified and constant sound of verbal praise being expressed to the God of our salvation. Now, isn't that profound? Because when we think in terms of singing a cappella, and even for the churches, small churches that do not have your musician, take heart. And if you may be attending a church that don't have musicians, and think, take heart that God is getting the praise out of your vocal praises unto him, even though you don't have the music. So be encouraged, because it is all the voices that are going unto God, unified unto God on one accord, that is so powerful unto the Lord our God. Now, let's look at Revelation verse number 19, verses 5 through 6, and I'll read it in your hearing. A voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And so with that one voice around the throne, they was lifting their voice, and with a thunderous mighty voices saying that, hallelujah, for the Lord our God is omnipotent and he reigneth. And as we are admonished to be mindful and cautious in how we use our voice, and that is so key, we must be mindful, and we don't talk about that. We must be mindful how we use our voices and things, because it is a tool. And in that tool, we can either speak life or death. And whoever loves the fruit, you're going to eat the fruit thereof, of that result of how you use your voice. And so it's key in things. Are you using it to edify, exhort the body of Christ? Or are you using it to cast down or bring down and bring death? We must recognize how we do it and be conscious of it. The psalmist said, it is well with, when he declared, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verses 14. Praising God needs no certain time or place. All that is required is an attitude of worship from a sincere heart. Many people felt that to be unable to sing is a hindrance in their ability to offer praise, but singing is only one of many ways to praise the Lord. Moreover, God is not nearly as interested in the tone of our voice as he is in the tone of our heart. As a person declare, I may not be able to carry a tune in a basket, but I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, singing and other form of worship are important because they prepare an individual to receive the preached word of God. Most church services include a time of singing in the preliminaries of the worship service, both to exalt Jesus Christ and to prepare the people's hearts to receive him. Just as a farmer tills the soil before he plants the seed, the singing of hymns and choruses and the magnifying the name of the Lord, it prepares the heart to receive the preached word of God. Now, frequently, there is a special song or congregational chorus just prior to the delivery of a sermon. sermon. Again, this song prepares the further preparation of the heart of those present in the congregation to receive the word of God. So the song is being used as a tool in the hand of God to break up the fallow ground of the heart of the people and things to receive the word in good ground that it may bring forth fruit. Because what worse thing for the word of God to fall on stony ground or it begin to be choked out and things. And so the songs that is sung before the word of God or the man or the woman of God will get up to sing, it is so vital and needful so it can prepare the fallow ground. That's why the choir, the psalmists, have to be consecrated. They must consecrate themselves and be prayerful so that they can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, to what song to sing, how to minister, how to prepare the soil before the man or the woman get up. So that's profound. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his praise with singing. Now, I want to stop right there, and we're going to talk a little bit more about gladness, too. We must take our assignment, our purpose, our task in the house of the Lord, and we must serve God with gladness. It's not about what the people are doing. It's not about what they have done or what about the gossip or whatever people have said or your hurts. God is looking for a fruit of gladness out of our lives and things when we are serving, to be glad to serve on the usher, to be glad to be called an officer in the house of God, in the administrative area of the kingdom of God, administrating the kingdom business. God said he wants his people to be glad to teach Sunday school, glad to be on the mother's board, glad to be on the deacon or in the men's choir, gladness. Now, God does not get no glory from an individual murmuring and complaining and saying that they're not going to sing in the choir. They're not going to sing in the men's chorus. God get no glory out of that. Matter of fact, it's grieving the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And I can imagine God may be thinking in his mind, for all that I've done for you, and you're going to murmur and complain about serving on the usher or singing in the men's choir, the times that I brought you out and doors that I opened, and you're going to get mad? No, 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 child of God. God wants you to serve him with gladness. It's not about the people, but it's about the individual relationship with God. And if everybody grab a hold to that mindset and serve God in that vein and in that mindset, guess what? Then the entire body or the entire choir, the entire usher board, the entire committee is standing before God with a fruit of gladness and showing him gladness. And God will bless us, children of God, in a mighty and a special way. Singing soothes the soul and lifts the person's spirit. When the evil spirit troubled King Saul, the psalmist David's music and singing brought him peace and comfort. Moreover, the Lord is worthy of our prayers through singing. These are only a few of the many reasons the scripture encourages us to sing. Psalms 2, 9, and Tuesday, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Psalms 13 and 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. Psalms 27 and 6 day, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now another one, Psalms 47, 6 and 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all earth. Sing praises with understanding. God wants to hear your voice, and he wants to hear that new song coming out of your bosom unto him and out of your heart unto him. God has ordained the pleasant aspect of music as a conduit to bring into our lives a special awareness of his presence. Now let's look at another point here as we move forward in our lesson, because there's a lot of great things we're sharing. Be glad to serve God. We just talked about that, but we want to go a little deeper. When we praise, pause to remember what God has done in our lives, there arises in our heart an overwhelming gladness to be a child of the King. When we recall the sinful pit from which God lifted us and remember how greatly he changed our lives for the better, we cannot help but rejoice. We once lived in darkness, but now we live in this marvelous light, his marvelous light. We are certainly to be glad about it. The psalmist exalted us, and he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 102. The redeemed person, the blood washed, and the spirit filled is looking for the soon return of his Lord or her Lord and Savior, just as they rejoice in their salvation. Indeed, he is glad to be, or she is glad to be, a child of God. What an excellent hour for the child of God. Prophecies are being fulfilled, and the signs of the time pointing to the soon return of Jesus for his church are being evidenced every day. What an opportune time for us to shine as bright lights bearing truth in this dark and sinful world. People need to see our joy and the gladness in our heart as we await our Redeemer. So people need to see that gladness as well as that joy. Those are two elements that you don't see going to your workplace and things. You don't see gladness and joy springing out and bursting and into the hearts of people and things. We may see a lot of wicked, evil conspiracy and contriving different things and trying to overthrow one another, jockeying for position and different things like that, trying to make one another one look bad so that they can look good, stepping on other people back and a lot of backstabbing. All these things are going on. But God needs somebody just to stand up and take in their spirit gladness and joy, letting it ring upon the heart of the individual and things, so that they see you coming, they see joy and gladness, would bring sunshine and strength and reviving that individual to let them know, I want what you have, whatever it is to keep you happy and joyful in your spirit. What we know about God is important. The Lord is God. How sad it must be for people to prepare themselves for worship and know neither the name of God nor where he might abide. We are blessed to know God and how to find him. The psalmist David had an awesome awareness of who he was. And I think that we have, as people of God, know who he is and we know God. But do you really know? Does individual really know how to find him? And I think that that is key right there. How do you find God? In Psalms 23:1, David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist, Ethan, understood that the Lord was his solid foundation of strength and protection. He called him the rock of my salvation. And you'll find that over in Psalms 89:26. In Psalms 91:2, the psalmist declared, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. Now, we must ask the question, what are you declaring? What are you declaring about your relationship with God? We must declare, and I talked about this in our lesson one of our lessons and about the hiding place. And you can go back and listen to that about the key and the importance of claiming and declaring. We must claim. What are you claiming about God? Do you claim that He is your refuge? Do you claim that He is your fortress? Do you claim that I put my trust in God, I can trust in God? Are these your claims? And if these are your claims, then don't stay there. After you claim it, you must move to the next dimension. That next dimension is declaring that. God, you are my refuge. God, you are my fortress. God, in God I can trust. So next time they have a testimony service, and I pray that we still have testimony service, because the Bible said that we overcome by the words of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The people must overcome by testifying and things, sharing their testimony. And so once we begin to declare and things, instead of saying, you know, I thank God for that new door that He opened and things like that, you can stand up, and many times we'll say, I thank you, praise the Lord, for I'm saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We use that as our testimony, but sometimes we need to just stand and say, I thank God that God is my refuge and that God is my very present help in the time of trouble, or God is my refuge, God is my fortress, and God do I trust. And when you begin to declare that and decree it, you're establishing that. You're establishing it in the earth. You're establishing it in the spiritual realm that this is where I'm trusting. This is what I trust in my God, that He will protect, He will provide. And I get up many times every day and say, God, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Number one, what it does, it establishes my relationship with God. It declares it, it decrees it, it defines it, that I am His sheep up under His protection, up under His guidance, and I'm depending upon Him, that He will be my provider. It's saying, Lord, I accept Your provision. I accept Your way that You have for me this day, because I shall not want. No good things will be withhold from me, because I'm walking upright before my God. And so you see how important that is. Now let's continue this out and things. When Paul visited Mars Hill, he declared to the men, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter number 17, verses number 22 through verse number 23. Now, the gods of the Greek did not know, and for whom they sought was, and still is, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the miracle-working Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They did not know that. And so that's why Paul was dealing with them. And so it's key for us is not only to know Him, but know how to find Him and things as well. Now, let's look at another point. The Lord is the sovereign creator. Now, we know the Lord, and now here's another point. We know the Lord is God. The next thing, the Lord is the sovereign creator. The Bible begins with the profound words, in the beginning, God created. Genesis 1 and 1. What an important truth to establish in the hearts of mankind. Creation was not an accident. It was not an evolutionary process that took centuries or millennium to produce man and this beautiful earth. God simply spoke, and by the power of His word, He created all things. Now, I want to stop there. Because it's key when we talked about our voices earlier and the words that we say, that creative power is within us. And we as children of God, we must recognize that and grab a hold to that and begin to speak forth our faith. That's why we don't pray. We speak the answer. We speak what we believe in God. That's why we speak forth faith, a word of faith, a prayer of faith and things. It's key to us because it is God's word. That's why it's key. If you don't know nothing else, pray his word. There's a book that I love. It's called Prayer That Avails Much. And that book, and it's the special edition, is very key because it prays the word and things on various situations and circumstances that we may face. And I encourage everyone to have it in your library because it's very, very key. And things, it, what it does, it actually prays the word. Now, remember, he created the earth and this world from the power of his word. And so we as children of God, we must understand the relevancy of the word of God when we read the word, get it down in our spirit, and begin to pray it and speak it. It's a creative force that's going out of your mouth. Just like you, if you have a unsaved loved one, for example, that you won't say, continue to say, God, I thank you for their salvation. I thank you, dear God, for them being in the house of God. Out of your mouth is the creative force of their destiny and their purposes going forth. It's not the power of suggestion. It's not speaking power positively and things like that, but it's speaking the unadulterated word of God and things, because God said this is not only for us, for our children and our children's children. So number one, you already know it's his will to save that unsaved child. Number two, now what you need to do is begin to send the word out. Remember, the Bible said he sent his word and his word healed them, okay? So you got to send the word so it can heal. Send the word so it can deliver. Send the word so it can bring them back in, heal them of that broken heart, heal them of that disease, of the appetites and the influences that have gone and taken them in the wrong direction. Heal them of their poor decision. Oh, healing just don't take place just in our bodies. It takes place in our decision. It takes place in our relationship. Healing takes place in our psychological being. Healing takes place in so many ways other than just the physical realm. Spiritual healing. Because you have children sometimes that have been hurt, church hurts and things. Lord, heal them. Send your word to heal them. Some church, some grew up in the church. PKs have left the church, have turned their back on the church because of the way that people would treat their parents. But I tell you, if you get up and you start sending the word after them, and Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are their shepherd and they shall not want, Lord. I thank you, dear God, because you're married to the backslider and you're going to bring them in, dear God. I thank you, Lord, for because the fullness of time and the hour is now that you're going to move, dear God, and just begin to send your faith and things as the created word of God. Oh, this is some good stuff. I'm about ready to scream, holler, horabosha. God is good. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Come on, put your hands together and give God the praise and the glory. He's coming home. God will do it. I stand in agreement with you. I don't know who you are, but I stand in agreement that God's going to turn it around for your good. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. Come on, clap your hand. It is done, and it is so. I decree it by the authority and the power that is invested in me. The psalmist of Psalms 104 believed in the Creator. He declared, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heaven like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits and his minister a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should be not moved forever. Psalms 104, 2 and 5 declares about our Creator. And if he can lay the heavens out like that, and if he can walk upon the wings of the air, and make the angels his ministering of flames of fire, and lay the foundation of the earth, God can touch that heart and bring them back in. All God has to do is take and look and think on them and things, and take his spiritual finger out of heaven and touch that heart and circumcise that heart and things and bring them back in. And that's what God has wanted, a circumcised heart, the foreskin of the heart to be circumcised. Ah, Lord, we'll do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And as David kept watch over his father's sheep, he could admire the beautiful sunset, the flowing rivers, the landscape, and its beautiful design. And he knew that the very God who created all these things would give him strength. His ultimate desire was to serve God and offer worship to him. And you'll see that over in Psalms 27 and verse 4. It reads, "One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now, the other thing, as we move expeditiously along because of our time, we are the people of God. We know that the Lord is God. We know that the Lord is the sovereign creator. Now, we know that we are the people of God. Psalms 103 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Psalms 103. What an honor to be identified with our Lord, knowing he is and what we belong to him. The scripture on numerous occasions used the analogy of sheep and their shepherd to portray the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. There developed such an intimate relationship between them that the people of God clearly recognize his voice. You do recognize it. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." John 10, verses 3 through 7. In the 21st century, many people may be considered dysfunctional, not knowing who their family is or where they belong. However, in the kingdom of God, there is absolutely no reason for any person to be dysfunctional in their spiritual relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. We know who we are. We know the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we have received his name through faith and obedience and in water baptism and receiving of the Holy Ghost. We are his people, the people of God. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, let's look at another point, how to come before him. In approaching royalty, a person should follow a specific protocol and ritual. In the Old Testament, coming uninvited into the throne room could cost a person their life, no matter who the person was. For example, consider the risk that Esther took when she came before her husband's throne uninited. She knew as an act could cost her life, and you'll find that over in Esther 4 and 16. Today, we have a distinct privilege of being able to approach God boldly and to enter into his divine presence. However, there is a specific protocol that governs how a person is to enter into the presence of God. And let's look at that protocol. Psalms 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Now, we want to go in with thanksgiving and praise and being thankful unto God. And then we need to, I think we don't get to this point, because we do praise God, we are thankful of God, but he said, I want you to bless my name. And so sometimes we need to just take and say, Lord, we just bless the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. And just bless that name, which is the name that is above every name. And take a moment to bless the name of Jesus. Amen. So that's the protocol of entering in and coming in before God. Now, let's look at Thanksgiving, the word thank you. You are almost non-existent in some people's vocabulary today, that word thank you. If a person were to hold open the door for another entering into a place of business, several may walk through and not seem to even bother to say thank you. But people appreciate hearing these two words. Even though you, and isn't that such a cold world? And we used to wave our hand when somebody let us in the car and things, or inside, get in front of them. We still need to utilize that. The psalmist David declared that we should enter in his gates with thanksgiving. Giving thanks is something all people can do. If we were to try to list all for which we want to thank God for, our list would never end. God has been good to us. He has redeemed us. He has given us hope. He has supplied our needs. He has provided us with comfort. As long as we walk faithfully in truth of his word, we can enjoy the sense of peace that the world neither gave us nor can take away. Around Thanksgiving time each year, many people pause to consider the blessing that they enjoy. For a child of God, however, every day is a time of thanking him. Now, let's look here. Praising God. Praise is saying a thing or a person is good, a word that feels that worth or the value of a person or a thing. Number two, praise is a word or a song putting forth the glory and the goodness of God. What an honor to praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord in testimony and or in song. We can also praise him in many other ways, as described by the psalmist David in Psalms 150. Every person have a distinct privilege of offering praise to the Lord. It is never out of order to stop whatever we are doing and offer praise to the Lord. It's commonly. It is something that God wants. Now, blessing the name of the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We find that over in Psalm 103 and 1. The angels of the Lord declare, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1 and 21. The name of Jesus is necessary for our salvation. It is the only natural and normal or correct that we bless his holy name. It is only through his name and water baptism that we receive the remission of sin. We will find that over in Acts 2:38. Acts 4 and 12. Moreover, we are enriched by his Holy Spirit in our lives when we receive the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. Further, Jesus will break through the clouds of glory when he returns for his church. It is clear that we have many reasons to bless his name. Unfortunately, not everyone feels the same. Even the scripture confirmed that not all people will bless his name. As recorded in the book of Matthew, James warned, and we shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10 and 22. And if you don't understand the revelation of that name, of even being baptized in that name, it is something to seek God with. You know, about to gain a greater understanding about it. Many people fight it and think, as opposed to going to God for themselves individually and really seeking it out, whether these things be true and things. And you can search the scripture and you can find out that that name is worthy to be praised, and even the relevancy of the baptism in the name. Simon had declared how good at first did. How God did first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now look at that. He visited the Gentile to take out a people. Now, he didn't take a people just for naught or just to be taken out of people, and it didn't even say just to worship him, but he took out a people for his name. So go back to Acts 15 and 14 and reread that again. He's taking out a people for his name, those that will raise and worship his name. It is reasonable that Christians should desire to raise their hand and their voice to offer praise to God and to bless his name. Now, let's look at another point. How great is our God? God's goodness, let's take a look at that. One songwriter wrote, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. God is good." And we often quote that in testimony service many times. About when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I praise God for saving me. And a psalmist wrote that and is saying, God is good. Now, let's look at Zechariah 9 and 17. For how great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Romans 2 and 4 state, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and the longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's going to take goodness and cause us to repent. Don't you know it was God's goodness that made us repent? It wasn't his wrath. It wasn't his judgment. It wasn't the saints looking crazy or looking evil at the people of God. But it was God's goodness. It was his goodness that caused repentance in the lives of his people. So keep being good, because the Bible says, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. And as we be loving and we be kind, we know the acts, we know the behavior and things that may not be conducive to what God wants and things. But he said, if you take the tool of love and kindness, it will cause them to repent. It will cause them to come out of it. And God is the righteous judge. And so we need to know how to walk the scripture and use the tools that God has given unto us and things. We don't have to say they know better and things like that. We don't have to run them down, but it's through the goodness of the Lord. That's what the word said, and I'm in the word, that leads them to repentance. Amen. They'll come in and confess. They'll come in and fall, just like even Nathan. He didn't come directly against David, but he did use a parable about the ewe lamb. And David said, who is this man? Who is him? And then God used Nathan's voice to say, David, you are the one. And then David fell down on his face and cried out to God. And so when we use the tools that God has given to us, it will work in the kingdom of God. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22. The nature and character of God is centered in his goodness. God has been good to us, and through the fruit of the Spirit, he placed his goodness in us. The psalmist said it well. The Lord is good, and we can find that over in Psalms 34 and 8, Psalm 105, Psalm 135, verse 3, Psalm 145, verse 9. Every child of God should pause to reflect on the goodness of God. We should ask ourselves, have I been a recipient of the goodness of God? Am I allowing his goodness to flow through me? We must recognize, child of God, there are some things that God, his attributes must flow through us. His goodness, his joy must flow through us. Even the long suffering must flow through us, and gentleness must flow through us. Peace must flow through us, and faith must flow through us as children of God. Now, let's look at mercy. Now, because this is another relevant part for us as the children of God. Now, the Hebrew word in Psalms 105 that is translated mercy is chachek, which means kindness by implication towards God, piety, rarely, or pity, and things by opposition or reproof or beauty. In the King James Version, it is variously translated as favor, good deed, also kindness, merciful, mercy or pity, reproach or wicked thing. And we'll find that over in some of the strong, exhaustive concordance that explains that with the expanded Greek and Hebrew dictionary, it gives a greater understanding. Mercy is compassion and pity or understanding that is exercised towards one that is guilty. Now, a person may have done something against you and things, but mercy is very key when we exercise it. It is compassion and pity when we exercise it towards one that is guilty, that person that is guilty of that fault and things or that ought in your life. It involves God's dealing kindly with mankind in spite of their sinfulness. Moreover, from man's perspective, it is receiving kindness and love from God, even though we do not deserve it. David knew the mercies of God. He failed the Lord miserably in his lustful and sinful relationship with Bathsheba. Out of this adulterous relationship, David made more bad decisions as he tried in vain to hide that evil that he had done. He called Bathsheba's husband to be killed on the battlefield, thinking that he could take Bathsheba to be his wife and no one would know of his sinful liaison with her. But one day, judgment came to his doorstep through Nathan, the prophet of God. Only then did David begin to admit his error and understand his desperate need for the mercy of God. Psalm 51 records David's prayers of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. And we'll find that over in Psalms 51 and 1. And then you can also read it through Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. In Genesis chapter 19, when Lot barely escaped the judgment of God that fell upon the city of Sodom, he declared in verse 19, "Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, oh, the mercy and grace of God." Under the Old Testament plan that typified and foreshadowed the coming Savior, God instructed the people to build and install a mercy seat in the holies of holies in the tabernacle. It was only God's mercy that kept his people from receiving the judgment they deserve. So it is today. It is God's mercy that keeps us from receiving the judgment that is due on today. Now, today, in the 21st century, we need to understand the benefit of God's mercy towards us. We certainly deserve judgment, but instead, he has given us mercy. Christ did not come to redeem the world, but to extend his mercy to whosoever will receive it. Now, let's look here. God's truth. In our conclusion, we're going to look. His truth endured to all generations, Psalms 105. Pilate looked truth in the face, but he failed to recognize it. In examining Christ, he asked, "What is truth?" Then he made the awesome declaration, "I find in him no fault at all," John 18 and 38. Solomon declared, "Buy the truth and sell it not," Proverbs 23 and 23. Jesus declared, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8, 32. The scripture states, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14 and 6. Truth is absolute. It is unchangeable. It's unalterable. As is truth of Jesus Christ. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Neither culture nor language change or distort truth. Political spin cannot alter truth. Watered down preaching does not change the truth of the word of the Lord. His truth is going to endure all generations forever. The silence he exhibited a tremendous spiritual insight, or he shared this tremendous insight into understanding the goodness, the mercy, and the everlasting truth of our Lord. Our God is good, and his mercy is new and fresh every day. His truth is unchanging and everlasting. We must recognize, child of God, that our singing and our voices, as we lift them up to God and things, our voice is an instrument of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we use it to lift it up and bring glory and honor unto him, he is going to tremendously bless us. Psalm 100 is a powerful portion of the scripture that gives spiritual direction to every child of God. We serve him with gladness, come before his presence with singing, and enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Truly, we can bless his name forever and ever and ever. Bless his name. I pray that this has been a blessing unto you and giving you more revelation and understanding of why it is important for us to bless his name. God wants us to praise him, but to bless his name as well. Incorporate and incorporate in your worship blessing the name of the Lord, and watch God release unto you blessings in your life because you made a conscious decision to bless his name. And his name is Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. And once you begin to bless that name, God will bless his people in a mighty and a special way. Oh, our Lord. How excellent is thy name, O Shalado Boshe. God, we thank you for this lesson today. We come and hasten to the throne of God right now, saying, God, you are the righteous Savior, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And we come and lift our hands up, Lord, in the sanctuary of our souls today. And we bless your name, God. We bless your name. We bless your name, dear God. We show forth the praises of our God out of our voice, Lord, out of our spirit, out of our souls. Oh, Lord, our Lord. Our soul's going to make a boast in the Lord. And the humble going to hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Lord, we exalt your name. We give your name the glory and the honor and praise that's due unto your name. You are the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You're the great I am, Lord. And we praise and worship your name to the glory of the Father, Lord. Thou art the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, I pray that you stir up your people. I pray that you undergird your people with, Lord, fresh praise off of their lips, dear God, with the revelation knowledge of praising your name, dear God. Yes, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, but take us to that higher level of blessing your name, dear God. Bless the name of the Lord. Put it in our lips, oh God, and we'll praise your blessed name, dear God, and give you the glory that is due unto your name. Bless your child. Put a praise in her bosom. Put a praise in her spirit. Put a praise in her mind. Put a praise in his soul, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Make us a reservoir of praise, oh God. Praises are comely unto the people of God. Lord, we bless your name, oh Most High. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, God is in this, the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Heal. Deliver. I speak to tumor and I command it to back up right now. I speak to that lump, and I command it to dry up and shrivel right now. I speak to the tissues right now to be renewed in the name of Jesus. New set of tissues in your body in the name of Jesus. I speak, oh God, Lord, that diabetes will come up under total control in the name of Jesus. The regulated diet that will come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name, Lord, I pray that that child will come home with a praise down in their heart, with fire in their soul to serve you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you will go behind the prison bars and talk and minister to that child that's sitting in the hole. Dear God, Lord, minister to their heart. Let their minds be sound and sane, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Keep them, oh God, from the gangs that's trying to destroy their life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That daughter that's walking the street, dear God, in the name of Jesus. I praise you for their salvation. I praise you for the angels that will go across their path and break down the stone heart and circumcise the foreskin of our heart, oh God, that they will turn their feet back in the hit of their God, in the name of Jesus. I break every band and I undo every shackle and every burden, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I call that marriage back whole in the name of Jesus. I call love to flow out of the bosom and not bitterness and hurt and pain in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. I command, Lord, functionalities in the homes, dear God, of humongous, Lord, love flowing throughout the home, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak to the man's mind not to be treacherous against the wife, that he will love her like his own body, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, ah, Lord, how excellent, excellent is your mercies, Lord, your mercies, Lord, your mercies, Lord, your mercies, your mercies, Lord. Have mercy, O God, and turn to us, O God. Lord, turn back to us, O God. Turn back to your people, those that have walked away from you, Lord. Turn back, O God, to them, Lord, in thy name, O God. We ask, O God, that you, Lord, will respond to your people, Lord. Respond to the heart of your people, O God, in the name of Jesus. And by your power divine, dear God, we call upon your name, Lord. Father, in your name, satisfy us early with your mercy, God. Make us glad, oh God. Let your work appear to us, Lord. Let your glory appear to our children, Lord. Let your beauty be upon us, oh God. Lord, we ask that you establish the work of our hands, Lord. Oh, establish, Lord, the work of our hands, oh God. Make us glad, Lord. Oh God, let your work appear to us, dear God, this day, in this hour, oh God. Oh God, engulf your people, Lord. Walk among the land, Lord. We speak to this universe and declare that its creator is God, and we are God's children, and the resources that we need will come to us this day in the name of Jesus. In spite of the economy, God is the creator of all things, Lord. Lord, you are the creator of all things, and we thank you, oh God. and we give you glory and we give you praise to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. La da da bo she rika baba she da bo she. Lord, let it be according to your will. This we pray in Jesus' name. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. We bless your name for deliverance. We bless your name for healing, Lord. We bless your name for, Lord, our provider, Lord. We bless your name, oh God. We just bless your name. We take a moment and just bless your name. We just bless your wonderful name of Jesus. No other name. We know there's power in your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, O Lord, on high. I just feel a miracle working power. The might of God, the wonders of God, the glory of God is raised among us. Ask God whatever you have need of. There's an open heaven right now. Ask God whatever you have need of. Tell them, take your children there. Bring forth the cup of salvation for them, Lord. We take out the cup of salvation and drink the cup of salvation for our children, Lord. For your son, drink the cup of salvation. For your daughter, for your grandchildren, your children's children, your generations of that will come. Let them recognize you, God. Let them accept you. Let them walk holy and walk into and enter into a relationship with you. We come against deception. Oh, yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Heal today. Heal the brokenhearted in the womb. And we praise your blessed name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is speaking to the hearts right now. If you just close your eyes for just a moment and just meditate on God, God's going to speak directly to your heart. I just want to stay with you, whoever God is ministering deeply to. I'm just going to stay. God is doing it. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. He just said, I'm speaking to your heart. Quiet your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, dear God, for this beautiful session. We thank you for what you're doing in and through the heart and mind of your people, how you're bottling up those tears even right now. Father, we ask that you just continue to reign, rest, rule, and reign, and abide in our lives. And as we walk humbly and holy before thee, O God, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. Father, until we meet again, you meet the need of your people, Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you is my prayer. And may the grace of our Lord, God, be with you. As I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it. And he's one question away one prayer away and one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.